Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Hope you're well. This is Update, where we're going to take you through the main news of the day in under half an hour. So coming up before 5.30, the Infrastructure Minister responds to news that the Isle of Man ferry terminal in Liverpool needs some upgrading. Also tonight, concerns are being raised over legislation aimed at regulating health and social care services. We'll take a look at that ahead of the consultation closing tomorrow. Garth commissioners are seeking residents' views on plans for a sewage treatment works at Axenfell Plantation. And there's a new political party which has launched on the island, and it's making some bold pledges ahead of next year's general election. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com or text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Lewis Fastamai.
Fastamai. Starting with the latest from the steam packet, as a number of sailings have been cancelled over the coming days due to Storm Amy. Tomorrow, the 1:45pm sailing from Heysham to Douglas and the 7:15 evening return will no longer go ahead. Meanwhile, all of Saturday's sailings, both to and from Heysham and Liverpool, have also been cancelled. Work to fix an issue with the Liverpool ferry terminal could cost in the region of £1 million, but could also be a lot less. The Infrastructure Minister has been pressed for a figure following the announcement that an upgrade is needed to allow the steam packets Manxman and Ben McCree to berth at low tide. Home visits for women who've just given birth are being reinstated later this month. Manx Care says successful recruitment within the maternity team and a transformation in how outpatient services are delivered means two visits can now be accommodated in the first week of the baby's life. And Isle Listen's Tough Mucker event has been postponed because of the adverse weather linked to Storm Amy. The obstacle course challenge was due to take place in Ballyfesson this weekend, but will now be held on the following Sunday. The latest international news, the UK Prime Minister's chairing an emergency Cobra meeting in Downing Street after a synagogue attack in Manchester that's killed two people. Sir Keir Starmer raced back from meetings with European leaders in Denmark, calling the incident appalling. Scotland Yard have declared it an act of terrorism and arrested two people. Chief of Greater Manchester Police, Sir Stephen Watson, has given an update on the victims.
We can confirm that two members of our Jewish community have sadly died. Four further people remain in hospital, having suffered a variety of serious injuries.
In other news, Anne Longfield, the former Children's Commissioner for England, is calling on the UK government to apologise to young people. She's told the COVID inquiry that decisions taken in 2020 and 2021 harmed pupils and their schooling. And Only Fools and Horses actor Patrick Murray's died at the age of 68. He appeared as Mickey Pierce, the wheeler dealer friend of Del Boy and Rodney in the BBC sitcom. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with more at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed, Lewis. So the weather now brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. There is a yellow weather warning in place for gale to severe gale force winds. That comes into force tomorrow at 4pm and will be until 6pm on Saturday. So there are likely to be gusts of around 50 to 60 miles an hour. It could be 65 in more exposed coastal areas and on higher ground. So there is that risk of travel disruption, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Also likely to be some fallen trees and possibly minor structural damage as well. And because of that area of heavy rain that's also going to move in as well, there could be the risk of localised surface water flooding. If you've got any concerns about that, if you go to the Civil Defence page, they have got some advice on there about how to prepare for this sort of weather. The general forecast for this evening then, outbreaks of rain will become heavy for a time. They will clear overnight. The winds will veer southwest and decrease as that rain clears. So minimum overnight temperatures will be around 11. And tomorrow it'll be dry and bright to start with, but the rain will move in from the west around lunchtime, becoming heavy and persistent before clearing early evening. And those winds are going to steadily increase to reach those gale or severe gale forces by mid-afternoon. Sunset this evening, 6:53. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 7:23.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank. whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to Update. It's 5 and a half minutes past five. So as we told you on this programme yesterday, the new Isle of Man ferry terminal in Liverpool, which estimates put it costing around £70 to £75 million, needs to be upgraded. The Department of Infrastructure says in berthing trials for Manxman and Ben McQueen last year, it was found that at lower tides, mooring lines clashed with a dolphin fender. Now, the planned work is going to affect some sailings to and from Liverpool on the first weekend of November. That will now have to divert to Heysham. Well, Lewis has been talking to the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Hayward, starting with that all-important question, how much is this going to cost?
That's not absolutely certain at the moment, if I'm really honest about it. So we know we had problems last winter, and people will be aware there were a number of cancellations and changes to the schedule that the steam packet put out. And it's to do with the position of the fenders on the mooring dolphin. We couldn't do any of that work across the summer because those fenders are used by Mananan, especially when she needs to come off the berth on a flood tide. So we've had to sit and wait until Mananan finishes doing her runs across, which will be October half term.
Have to bring you back up on that cost. How is it not known?
Because we are in discussion with the manufacturer of the fenders. The rope snags across the top of them, so there have been various suggestions about cutting them down, repositioning them and everything, and we're trying to work through. So we have specialist marine engineers looking at conducting berthing studies and looking at where the ropes route to work out what the best, most cost-effective solution is. But the immediate short-term fix is that we'll be lifting one of the fenders clearly out of the way so that Manxman can get safely in there and she can carry on with her winter schedule.
It sounds like a big project. Is there even a ballpark figure that you've got in your head right now?
We're not talking long millions, if that's what anyone's going to allege. We're probably in the million-ish pounds, depending on exactly what the fix is.
And I mean, we're currently using estimates for the final cost between £70 to £75 million for the total spent on the ferry terminal. Is it this issue why your department's been so hard to pin down on that final figure?
This is one of a number of issues that are still ongoing after the build. So we know what money has been spent so far, but there are still some very complicated legal negotiations going on.
So is it within the DOI's right to claim back some of the costs that have been incurred down the line following the contract, I suppose?
It may well be. And that's I'm not trying to be deliberately vague, but you're absolutely right that there is a potential that some of the costs for dealing with this will be recoverable in the future.
That is the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Hayward, talking to Lewis. Much more to that interview, as ever, you can find it in full as a newscast at manxradio.com. It's also attached to this story on the website as well. 5:08. Well, Garth commissioners say they want to hear the views of residents about Manx Utilities' proposal for a sewage treatment works in Axenfell Plantation. Now, the local authority is organising a meeting at the Working Men's Institute on the 22nd of October at 7pm before it submits its own view to the planning process. Vice Chair Miranda Farragher says she'd like to see residents from the affected areas of Laxey and Lonnon at that meeting.
Well, we're holding the meeting to try to find out from members of the public, and it'll be people who live in the Garth area. There'll be mainly Laxey people, Laxey and Lonnon people, who will come along, we hope, to the Working Men's Institute on the 22nd, Wednesday night, 22nd of October at 7 o'clock. So we're holding the meeting to hear people's views. We'll be putting in our own view as a body of commissioners in due course. But before we do, we really want to hear what people think about the application, which is for the Axenfell site.
And what would you like the outcome to be? I know you mentioned in the meeting that you're looking just to find out what the residents have to say.
I think the outcome will be just that, won't it? It'll be, hopefully there'll be a chance for discussion. There'll be a chance for people's questions to be answered. That would be a good outcome. If people have questions, we're hoping that there'll be somebody from Manx Utilities there sitting in the audience, just like everybody else will be, listening and able to answer the technical questions, particularly the things that lay people don't understand or don't know about, they'll be there to answer that.
That's the Vice Chair of GARF, Commissioners Miranda Farragher, talking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper. That meeting at the Working Men's Institute is on the 22nd of October at 7 p.m.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now it's your last chance to have a say on the new Regulation of Health and Social Care Services Bill. The consultation into this legislation is closing tomorrow. Amy is with me now. Amy, just tell us first of all what exactly this bill covers.
Essentially, it regulates health and social care services where those services are provided by a healthcare or social care professional and form part of a person's specific treatment or care plan for a disease, disorder, injury or condition. For example, any treatment involving prescribed products, injections or skin puncturing must be registered under the bill. While that mainly covers medical and dental services, it will also now include things that had previously fallen under a different department. Those are things like tattooing, microblading and acupuncture, as all those treatments involve the use of needles.
So what does the bill not cover then?
And while there does seem to have been a bit of confusion about this, so much so that the DHSC has issued a bit of a clarification. So it says that nail technicians, massage therapists, people administering holistic facials and massages, mindfulness and Reiki practitioners, life coaches and mentors are just some of those which will not be included in the regulations. The department says if any activity involves the use of instruments or equipment which are inserted into the body, or injection of a substance, the removal of tissue, cells or fluids from the body, the use of equipment in order to examine cells, tissues and other bodily fluids, or the application of light, heat or threads, they may fall under the scope of the bill.
And I understand there has been a petition against these regulations and it's gathered quite some momentum.
That's right. Around 450 people have signed it, calling for the bill to be scrapped. The petition creators argue it could risk forcing small local businesses to close, limiting access to trusted therapies and adding unnecessary bureaucracy to an already stretched health system. They believe there's no identifiable need for this legislation, as safeguards already exist through professional bodies, insurers, training requirements and codes of conduct. They say duplicating these systems only adds red tape while draining public resources. There were also concerns about the costs associated with it, including the cost of registering a business under the rules of the legislation.
Okay, so what has the Department of Health and Social Care said in response to this?
Well, the department insists the bill does not propose or imply any specific fee amounts. Instead, it says the consultation is seeking views on the structure of a future fee model, specifically whether a sliding scale would be fairer than fixed thresholds. Rather than setting specific fees, it says the bill will give it the power to prescribe fees through secondary legislation, which would ultimately be subject to public consultation and Timwald procedure.
And that consultation is closing, but it is still live at the moment.
It is. You have until the end of tomorrow to respond if you'd like to. As of yesterday, 120 people had submitted their feedback, and you can find out how to access it and where to get more information in the usual place, manxradio.com.
Amy, thank you.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing to report on the police pages, although, as I mentioned earlier, there is some advice on there from Civil Defence if you're worried about localised flooding or structural damage ahead of the weather this weekend. All OK down at the airport. The main thing is going to be the steam packet, so there have been some cancellations, as Lewis mentioned in the headlines. All of Saturday's sailings are cancelled, and also the return from Heysham tomorrow at 1:42, which was a very precise time, that has been cancelled. But we can see the Manxman making its way into Douglas Harbour now. It will be alongside in around about 15 minutes or so.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
You're listening to Update. It's coming up to 5:15. Well, a report has been carried out by the Timwald Commissioner for Administration, Paul Beckett, into the process used by Bannu commissioners, which led to it not issuing a demolition notice on the Castletown Golf Links Hotel. Well, our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper, is with us now. She's been through this report and the outcomes today. Emma, just tell us, first of all, what is the basis of this report?
Well, the complaint came from the directors of the Langness Golf Club, Philip and Peter Vermeulen, over a perceived lack of will by Bannu commissioners to demolish the former hotel. The LGC also alleged that the local authority had deliberately delayed legal advice and claimed the commissioners were secretly working with the former owners to keep the building in a state of disrepair to gain planning approval. It added the issue had been going on for 12 years. Now, Malou commissioners refuted all those claims to the Ombudsman and provided evidence that it had issued a notice of works to the former owners to make the building look less neglected. This included painting and securing the hotel. It added it had been waiting for legal advice and for the outcome of a planning application and subsequent appeal before issuing a demolition notice.
And so were there any other parties then involved in this report?
Yes, there is. So a local group called the Derby Haven Resident Society was also included in the report, as they had similar complaints to the Langness Golf Club about the commissioners. And two MHKs were also included in the report, as they held meetings with the commissioners, the residents group and the golf club.
So then what did the Ombudsman find out about Malou commissioners?
Well, the Ombudsman, Paul Beckett, found a number of elements of maladministration on the part of the local authority. Firstly, that the commissioners consistently declined to meet Peter and Philip Vermeulen a number of times without adequate grounds for refusal. Mr. Beckett also established that there was incompetency on the local authority's application of legislation due to its focus on the outside of the building, which it claimed didn't appear to be in a dangerous condition. This, the Ombudsman said, was based on its external appearance rather than the hotel site as a whole. Mr. Beckett also established that Malou commissioners' wait-and-see policy amounted to maladministration and remained indifferent to any opposing view or plea at odds with this decision.
So this was a very lengthy report. What happens now, Emma?
Well, the decision to issue a demolition notice on the Castletown Golf Links Hotel still lies with Malou commissioners, and the Ombudsman hasn't made any recommendations to either party. He has pointed out what has been found as maladministration on the part of Malou commissioners, and it is down to them to take the report on board.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper, thank you very much indeed. And we have been in touch with Malou commissioners to offer them the opportunity to comment. 17 minutes past five. There's a new political party on the Isle of Man, and it really does have some bold promises ahead of the next general election in 2026. Isle of Man First is pledging major reforms, from raising the tax allowance to £50,000 to creating a sovereign wealth fund and even transforming UCM into a fully accredited university. Now, the party says it wants to put Manx residents first, with measures across health, housing and government efficiency. Christian has been talking with the party's founder, Mitch Sorby, to hear more about their plans.
Every decision in government, I think they should look at putting the Isle of Man first, whether it's something they personally agree with or not. It has to be the first thing for the island, for its residents, for its businesses, and for the people that live and work here.
What was the moment that made you decide to launch the party? Was there a tipping point?
I've always been fairly vocal about lack of support for the bars and the restaurants on island. We were forced to close down for a period of time without any real support. And I look at the government as totally out of touch with the trials and tribulations. Hospitality doesn't need any support. What it does need is the government to stop taking so much from it.
Well, let's turn to some of the detail, because obviously promises are one thing, delivering is another. We'll start with tax allowance in your draft manifesto. The headline pledge is to raise the personal tax allowance to £20,000 in your first 100 days. Have you costed that?
There has been costings done on what that would cost.
And what have you got?
There is an outline on there. I'm not going to go into too much detail at the moment, for the simple reason all the detail I go into at the moment will probably be nicked by one of the current MHKs to try and do something similar so that they can buy themselves back into power for another 5 years. So I don't really want to go into that in detail. All you need to know is it has been costed. It will work.
Because I've costed it, and it comes out to about £50 million. Drop in government revenue straight away. Where are you anticipating plugging that gap?
What you look at is, if we're talking about government revenue, we've got a GDP on island last year reported at 5.6 billion, but you get government costs of 500 million. I don't know any sustainable Western society that can take 10% of the GDP to run government.
But looking further ahead, your ambition is £50,000 allowance.
Correct.
Which would be a loss of about
42,500, if it's accurate. And the reason for the 42,500 came from is that's the average earnings on island.
That is Mitch Sorby, the founder of Isle of Man First, talking to Christian. And once again, much more to that interview. It is in a newscast, which you can find on this story on manxradio.com. So go and check that one out. Now, the motorcycle racer Kevin Canny says winning this year's Senior Manx Grand Prix was the biggest victory of his career. Away from his success on track, he told me on our Journey to a Dream podcast about the challenges and sacrifices that he's really had to make for his racing dreams to become a reality.
When we're not racing bikes, it's work. Winter, we do a lot of weekends, and I think last winter we done maybe like a month straight at work. It's all self-funded. We have two sponsors there, and a cousin of mine helps me out for the Manx every year. Small sponsors, like it covers maybe four or five sets of tires. It's tough at the minute because just with the expense that's involved in it, it's not an easy sport to keep going.
Would you be able to give us a sense though of what it does mean to a rider in your position when somebody says, yeah, I really do want to help you out?
It's massive. Like, it's, I suppose it's pressure. You're always weekend sacrifices. You've got to think, me and Katrina got married on the 15th of April, 23. We still haven't got the honeymoon. That's the sacrifice we have to make. And when people come in and they be like, oh, we would like to buy you a set of tires. That's one less set of tires. It's a massive thing. And not only the tires, like fuel, just everything. Like, anybody to give their own hard-earned money. And I know it's a big ask to do that, but whenever they come up, it's lovely and it's a great gesture.
Has there ever been a point where you and Katrina have thought, is this really worth it?
Every winter, whenever you're not at the bikes, I kind of go into this, I wouldn't say depression, but you go into this lull and you're like, what are we doing? Like, I've just spent another 30,000 or 40,000, you know, this year trying to run these motorbikes, and it's just, is it worth it? And the sacrifices you make whenever you're not out on the bike or you're not working at the bikes, they're not in your mind, and you're trying to get money gathered all winter to go racing next year. Like, why am I working for 20 days straight here? That's a tough thing.
Then you listen to what we just heard at the start of this conversation and you just think, that's why you do it. It's not all about the winning, but those highs, when they happen, must just be exhilarating.
Phenomenal. Of course they are. Like, the dream is always to win the Manx Grand Prix or to be competitive at the Manx Grand Prix. And when we won it, the first thing me and the wife both said to each other, it's worth it. Everything was worth it.
That's Kevin Canny, and you can hear the full podcast on the Journey to a Dream section at manxradio.com or on the Manx Radio Motorsport website. Just to let you know that because of the adverse weather conditions as a result of Storm Amy, with those predicted gale force winds over the coming days, they have decided to postpone Isle Listen's Tough Mucker event. It was supposed to take place in Ballyfesson this Sunday. It is now going to be rescheduled to the following Sunday, that's the 12th of October. If you're taking part, you can roll over your entry to that date. You don't need to do anything in order to do that. But if you can't take part, then do get in touch and you will be able to get a refund for your entry fee from Isle Listen. Now, there's a chance to take part in what I can guarantee is one of the most unique fundraising events there is. It's been organised by Riding for the Disabled. We'll hear a little bit more about that on the programme tomorrow. But other sports news now. We are joined by our sports editor, Rob Pritchard, and obviously one eye on the weather for the weekend.
Yes, indeed. I think a lot of sporting organisations will be, I suppose, just keeping an eye on things as they go. And already we're seeing the effect that it's having on the motorsport scene this week. Weekend up in the north of the island, but no doubt that everyone will be keeping their fingers crossed that things can go ahead with as little disruption as possible, but really hard to say at this point.
And other sports news happening?
Yes, well, starting with football, because work is underway to maximise the number of referees available for Manx football matches this weekend after fixtures were thrown into doubt earlier this week. Representatives of the Isle of Man FA and Isle of Man Referees Society held what has been described as a productive meeting on the matter last night. As a result, it's now expected all men's games this Saturday will be able to go ahead as planned. It followed reports earlier this week that almost, if not all, senior men's matches this weekend were at risk of being disrupted due to a lack of match officials. Furthermore, both parties add a new referee working group will be established to help drive the Isle of Man FA's referees strategy. The statement issued by both the Isle of Man FA and Isle of Man Referees Society is available in full at manxradio.com. Also in football, the Cherry Godfrey Cup tournament is set to return in 2026. Following the inaugural event in Jersey last year, organisers have confirmed the latest edition of it will take place at Victoria Park in Guernsey from the 26th to the 27th of June next year. The Isle of Man women's team will go into the competition as defending champions, having won the trophy during its debut in 2024. Well, over 2 days of matches, the Cherry Godfrey Cup sees the women's national sides of Guernsey, the Isle of Man, Isle of Wight and Jersey face off in a series of matches, all in pursuit of the silverware. Elsewhere, Isle of Man professional boxer Matthew Rennie has withdrawn from his latest fight, which was due to take place this week. The Manx competitor had been due to return to the ring at Box Park, Liverpool tomorrow. In an update on social media, however, Magic Rennie has announced he's pulled out of the contest due to illness. And finally, in motorsport, TT rider Jamie Coward has left KTS Racing after 6 years. The team announced it has mutually agreed to part ways with the 2023 Privateer Champion. In a statement, KTS says it's grateful for Jamie's dedication, hard work and passion, and wishes him every success on and off track for the future. Coward secured podium finishes at the Isle of Man TT and Southern 100 Road Races, as well as Northwest 200 and Armoy Road Races during his time with KTS Racing.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Some other motorsport news we had today was the fact that Peter Hickman has got new puppy. She is absolutely adorable. There is a photograph on the Manx Radio Facebook page, and we were asking you to guess what her name was, because there is a Manx theme, isn't there? I think we kind of worked out, is this possibly one of the favourite parts of the course for him? We're not absolutely sure the reason behind it, but yeah, she's an absolute cracker, isn't she?
She is. There probably is a story behind that as well. Be interested to hear that from Hickman himself at some stage.
I'm not going to tell you what her name is. Head over to the Manx Radio Facebook page and you can have a look. Just to remind you then that we have got this yellow weather warning in place for gales or severe gales. It's coming into force at 4 p.m. tomorrow until 6 p.m. on Saturday. Gusts of around 50 to 60 miles an hour. It could possibly be even 65 miles an hour in some more exposed spots. That'll be the coastal areas and on higher ground. So there is the risk of travel disruption. We know the sailing have been cancelled from tomorrow afternoon. That return from Heysham will not be happening, and there'll be no sailings on Saturday. There is also likely to be some fallen trees and minor structural damage. As ever, do stay tuned to Manx Radio and we will keep you up to date. And if you've got an event that's happening, we're always happy to let people know if you're having to postpone that for whatever reason over the next couple of days. That is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, it's Island Life, and once again we're going to join David Kinley for New World Old Ways, talking amongst other things about folklore and the history of the banjo as well. Then it'll be Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley from 6 p.m. At 9, it's A Little Like Music with Maurice Powell, and then Rhiannon will bring you After Hours from 10. Christian will be with you with Update tomorrow, so whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and I'll talk to you again soon.